Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Leadership Next online summit. I am so excited that you have joined me. This is Shane Hipps. We have some exciting speakers I'm going to be interviewing over the next couple of days. I'm looking forward to hearing what they're going to share and getting you access to what they're going to say. And I think you're going to find a tremendous amount of value. I'm not just going to be asking kind of about big picture things. I'm actually going to be getting into some really practical and tactical leadership stuff that I think is going to help you a lot. So one of the biggest reasons that I'm doing this is I have been a leader in large systems, and I know how hard it is, and I wanted to support leaders. I know how challenging the role can be, and in my experience directly and in my observation with others, I think there are kind of three big things that most of us experience. One is just the sheer frustration of trying to get a bunch of different people moving in the same direction at the same time. Another experience that I knew very well is just the overwhelm of trying to both manage people and at the same time get your own work done. And then the last one is, this is a really common one, is I think people very often feel misunderstood as a leader. I think people apply motives to us that we didn't have, or they misrepresent what we're saying, or they might just misinterpret what we're saying. And this is kind of the three big common things, and this is what I wanted to help address in this summit. So thanks for joining me. My name is Shane Hipps. If you don't know me, I used to be a mega church pastor. That's a church of about 6,000. And then I left that to become a leadership coach to Fortune 50 leaders, among many others. Some of my clients have come from organizations like Apple, Amazon, Target. And I'm also a number one best-selling author. I've written four books. I'm working on my next book with the legendary motivational speaker and business coach, a guy named Brian Tracy. We're writing a book called The Tactical Handbook of Business Leadership. And then I've also been a speaker, and I've served on stages, the same ones that Simon Sinek, Malcolm Gladwell, Daniel Pink have been on. And so I'm really glad to help you today and introduce you to some of my favorite leadership thinkers. So in a minute, I'm going to be talking about how to 10x the productivity and engagement of your team. I'll be sharing some of the principles that I've learned that actually really help you get the biggest ROI on one of your biggest investments of both time and money, which is your staff or your people. So just a quick reminder before we get into that, a couple things. One, there is a mini video class, kind of a jumpstart. There's a link there that I prepared for you called The Three Leadership Mistakes That Waste Time and Kill Morale and How to Avoid Them. I hope you'll check that out on the website there. Second, you can listen to all of the live calls. You get access to all the replays of everything that you're about to hear up till about the 11th, and then those are going to come down. So to make it easy for you, I've created what I call a Silver Past, where you can download 10 interviews so that you'll always have them. With that Silver Pass, you're also going to get another couple of bonuses. One is called the Dream Team Blueprint. That's another mini video course where I talk about the three elements required to build your and sustain your ideal team. It's going to save you hours and allow you to build a team that practically runs itself. And then the second bonus is just a quick PDF download. It's a quick read. 10 phrases leaders should avoid and what they should say instead. It's going to make having hard conversations a lot easier. I've identified 10 of the most common phrases I hear leaders use a lot and the problems that that creates. Now, one of the other big reasons that I wanted to do this event is because something is happening that is unprecedented, that has never happened before in the history of the world. And that is the rise and convergence of major new technologies. And they're moving fast. The train has already left the station on most of these. So you've heard of them, but the way that they interact is unlike anything we've ever seen. And so AI, deep learning, robotics, sensors, Internet of Things, autonomy, all of these things are now online in a major way, 3D printing, and it's disrupting trillion-dollar industries. And one of the estimates, by most estimates, experts would say that we will lose on the order of about 11 million jobs in the next 2 to 5 years. Now, that is alarming and shocking. You know, we, by comparison, we lost about 7-8 million jobs in 2008 and 2009. So that is how disruptive this is about to become. Now, maybe that's an inflated estimate. Even if you cut it in half, which is really conservative, it's still going to be majorly disruptive. You know, if you just took truck drivers alone, which autonomy is already overtaking the truck driving industry, that's 3 million jobs right there. Now, I'm not saying they're all going to go away, but they are going to radically transform. Now, in that same period of time, we will see 4 billion new people come online at 5G speeds. That's thanks to Google Loon, Facebook Solar Drones, all of these satellites that are going up with Tesla and Virgin, 9,000 satellites. This is incredible blanketing of the planet in 5G speed Wi-Fi. Now, why is that important? Because that's 4 billion new creators, workforce, customers, everything. They're going to need access to so many different things. And so what that means is it's not all bad news. It's not all dire warnings. There's actually an enormous amount of disruption, though, that's happening. And so that has a direct impact on how you hire, how you fire, how you relate, how you lead. Everything is going to change. And so what I wanted to do was I wanted to explore with some of the best thought leaders I know what is actually going to change in terms of leadership. And what's actually going to stay the same in terms of leadership? What are those things that won't change? Because there are some things that won't change. As much as the speed of technology has outpaced anything we've ever seen in the history of the world, amazingly, human psychology hasn't really advanced very much. I don't mean the techniques. I mean the human psyche. What makes us angry? What we need? What we long for? So many of those things are the same. They haven't changed in thousands of years. So that's a really interesting kind of point where these two things meet. Rapid change and unchange. What next? And so I'm going to get really practical for you and talk about some basic things, but everything I'm about to talk about is speaking to this very thing, which is these are the things that I think won't change. That's what I'm going to focus on here in my talk. Now, I'm also want to just tell you the things that do change or will change. Well, one of them is just sheer speed. The sheer speed at which things move is going to change rapidly. Another thing that's going to change is how data is computed. So they've already done this now. This will impact doctors, surgeons, all kinds of fields, financial analysts. When you can have quantum computing and AI, one of the things they found is they took a photo of a skin cell lesion that was cancerous, and they gave it to Watson, IBM's AI computer, and within seconds, it was able to identify an incredibly rare form of skin cancer and save a woman's life. And that only happened because it was able to compute trillions of images and compare them instantaneously. No doctor would be able to do that. And so that human function and factor gets removed when you have that kind of technology that is already happening. You have other crazy things that are happening. The way Google's AI, their voice technology is now indistinguishable from a human. And so you might be having a conversation with AI and not realize that it's AI, and it'll sound just like a human, and it will learn as you talk. And so what about 3D printing? There's a company called Planetary Resources. Peter Diamandis started it. And what he's done is he has sent a 3D printer out into space that has landed on an asteroid. This is already happening. This isn't something that's in the future. Landed on an asteroid, and it will pulverize the aluminum in the asteroid into a dust that is then used as the effectively ink for a 3D printer that will print a mining equipment that mines the asteroid for precious metals and then sends it back to Earth. So imagine what 3D printing can do and how it'll change a $10 trillion industry of manufacturing. So just a few things to keep in mind as we're talking about leadership. So in my talk today, I'm going to just be talking about three big things. One, I'm going to give you my number one tip for how you can inspire passion, commitment, and motivation in your people. Two, we're going to uncover one of the biggest roadblocks to team productivity. And then three, just a really practical way to help get your team aligned and you aligned with your team, which are three big challenges. So let's jump in. I am actually going to start by sharing an answer to a question that you're going to hear me ask every single speaker. And it's the question I start with, which is, what is your vision for making an impact? What kind of gets you out of bed in the morning? What is your big reason why? And the reason I want to start here is because this is ultimately related to my number one tip for how you inspire passionate people. And I'll get to that in a minute. But first, I want you to know what my purpose is. I have a company, we do consulting and coaching, and my company exists to awaken the highest potential in leaders so that they can grow organizations that are good for people and the world. So this is just a really simple distillation of something that has been with me for a very long time, and I just never articulated it quite like that. It took me many years of wandering in the wilderness to discover this about myself, and I actually made it way more difficult than it was necessary. But in the process, I discovered some really simple things that I want to pass on because I don't think it needs to be that difficult for you. So first, I have a very bizarre and kind of checkered past. I started my career in advertising as a strategic planner, working on Porsche cars. And then I went on and did what basically no ad guy has ever done. I left my career. That was great, well-paid, enjoyed it. And I left it to attend seminary. I had actually no intention of becoming a pastor. I just wanted to go study theology. And I also got a chance to write my first book there, and I started speaking around the country. But after that, I really soon after graduating, I became a Mennonite pastor of a church of about 300 people in Arizona. After about 5 years of that, I was invited to become a megachurch pastor in Michigan. And that was that bigger church I indicated. And then after a couple more books, I feel like I almost, in a way, graduated from church leadership and became the chief leadership officer of a billion-dollar real estate development company. After another 5 years, I left that to start my own leadership development consultancy. And here we are today. Now, that all sounds kind of like it's plotted on a graph, like a chart, like up and to the right. You know, it's all this kind of ascent. It is by no means how it felt or what really happened. I was full of confusion. I made tons of mistakes. I felt lost, occasionally got found. And actually, a lot of those stories are detailed in one of my books. It's called Cats Don't Bark. Sometimes people ask questions about how I ended up doing some of that stuff. But the reason that I'm sharing this with you isn't just by way of background, but because I want you to know that I have struggled to find my sense of purpose. That's part of why I'm passionate about helping others do the same, because I figured out ways that it just doesn't have to be that hard. And so why am I talking about purpose in general? Well, this is what I learned. I learned that one of the most powerful ways and simplest ways to highly motivate people isn't paying them more money. It isn't having beanbag chairs and, casual Fridays, though all those things are fine. It's actually articulating a very clear, higher sense of purpose. Simon Sinek calls this the why. You have to have a clearly distilled articulation of your why. Let me just unpack that a little bit. So most everybody knows what it is they do. Some good leaders know how they do it, and actually very few know why they do it. And it's that sequence that's so important. So let me just use a really boring example. A paper company. A paper company, their what is they make paper. That's their what. That's what they do. Their how is they maybe use recycled trees or have a special emulsion process or who knows what, but that's their how. They have this differentiator. And that's where most companies stop. But there are a few companies that go a little bit further than that, and those are the ones that answer why do they exist? And the why is this higher purpose that isn't about making money. It's not about business metrics, though you need those. That's not what this is about. It's actually about the reason that you do what you do to serve people. And that's what a why will be. And so the why of a paper company could be we exist to spread important ideas. Now, why is that important? Well, one reason it's important is that actually affects recruitment and retention. So if you decide, you know, I want to go work somewhere and they're like, yes, we make paper, that's one thing. But if you say we exist to spread important ideas, that changes how someone's going to show up in your work. The other thing that it does is it's actually a really powerful strategic move, which is if you make paper and the internet is invented and your business is simply we make paper, you're in trouble. But if you understand that your business is about spreading big ideas, you now have the ability to pivot strategically and still fulfill your mission. So Hopefully that makes some sense. So let me give you now a really practical way of actually crafting your why. And it really just, it's a simple sentence. It's constructed in two parts. And you saw it in or you heard it in the why that I gave. And it's really comprised of these two parts. First is, what is your contribution, your unique contribution? And then what is your impact? That's all that has to be included in this. There are lots of ways to do this. This is just one. And so my contribution is to awaken the highest potential of leaders. And my desired impact is so that they can grow organizations that are good for people and the world. So that's one way you can do that. Now, I teach a lot more about how to do this specifically in my Next Level Leader program, but I hope you can take this and work with it and use it. So that's the first one. Now, let's move on to my next big point, which is how you, I want you to be able to identify some of the biggest blocks to team productivity. So one of my clients, I'm going to call him Ben, he was the CEO of a company. And he was one of these really innovative guys. Ben was able to make money in his industry actually at a time when nobody else was. So he just figured out how to do some things that others couldn't do or didn't think to do. So he was very innovative. And as a result, he got a lot of talented and experienced people to join him because nobody else was growing in their industry. And so they started going to him and it was awesome. Now, Ben was mostly an entrepreneur, not a manager at heart. And what that meant is he continued to amass this awesome team of, you know, very experienced people, but he started to experience the frustration of a team that just wasn't on the same page. And he had all these big ideas that were always evolving, but they weren't getting executed by the team. He was starting to get resistance. And so he would kick off a meeting with a big idea that was smart. And what he didn't understand is that a number of the team members knew a lot more about the industry than he did, and that meant that he couldn't see some of the unintended consequences of his big ideas. So when the team members would say, hey, well, if you do that, that's going to cause this, and if you do this, that's going to cause that, and he couldn't really recognize that because he was busy in his own narrative, which is, I'm an innovator, and they just don't get innovators. Well, it turns out a lot of the times he was wrong and they were right, and he was just inventing a wheel he shouldn't have. So that was one problem he had, and the other one is, every time he offered an idea, for him, it was just a creative brainstorm. He just liked coming up with new ideas, and he would throw it against the wall, and for him, it was just spitballing. But that was not at all how others experienced it. For others, that was a directive. And so what would happen is the team would chase off in different directions. People were burning cycles. They were wasting time. They weren't on the same page. And you ended up in the situation of, you know, the old Chinese parable, you chase two rabbits and you catch none. So why am I sharing this? Well, this is an indicator of one of the biggest blocks to productivity, which is simply two things. The two biggest blocks are lack of clarity and lack of alignment. Lack of people being really clear on what you've asked, and lack of everybody pulling in the same direction. Those are the two killers of not having a great deal of productivity. So I'm going to give you just two really simple things and to help you kind of unpack it and maybe make use of this in your work. The first, to establish clarity, just right now, ask yourself the question, have I made my position clear? Have I actually said to the person what I expect in no uncertain terms? In some cases, I recommend you even put it in writing. Even if you've had a casual conversation, you follow up in writing with, this is the direction we agreed to. And then you ask for confirmation. Could you please confirm you have the same understanding? And those two little pieces, I know it sounds really simple, but it's really often overlooked, can really help you a lot. Now, the second piece around alignment is really important. And I'm going to give you a larger tip in a minute, but just really quickly, one of the simple things about alignment is this. When you're talking to a team and you're coming up with some big new idea and you're sensing resistance from people, you can make a distinction for them between getting aligned or alignment and agreement. These are two different things. You see, alignment says, I will support this direction with my words and my behavior publicly, but I personally don't necessarily agree with this direction. agreement is I'm all in. Not only am I going to support it with my words and actions, I totally buy this. I'm really excited about it. Why is this helpful? Why is this important? It's very interesting. One of the things I found is when you give people a chance to feel at odds with it, but you're still asking for behaviors that are consistent with it, it allows them to keep their own sense of integrity. It allows them to go, okay, I got it. I'm living now in a new category called alignment, not agreement. That means I can still act on it, but I'm free to feel not real excited about it. And that may sound really small and mundane, but I've found it makes a big difference in the emotional system of a company. Let me move on to the tip that I wanted to get to, which is how you actually then move towards alignment. So I kind of gave you one that was like, here's how you can separate alignment and agreement. That's really important. But let me tell you about another client. We're going to call him Fred. Fred was the leader of a team. And Fred was one of these guys. He came from a very, very well-known company, Fortune 10 company. He was very big and he was so effective. He had invented some things that have actually changed the world in some ways. And he made it up through the ranks in an environment that was actually very combative. The way the company operated was that you'd actually kind of berate each other in meetings. And for him, he actually thrived on that. He loved the challenge. He enjoyed that. He never took anything personally, and he felt it made him a lot better. And he thought that was great. And so when he came to a new organization, it was a much smaller organization, and he started treating his team the same way. And within about 2 months of joining a new company, his team members were like rats on a sinking ship. They were fleeing the deck. They had, and he actually didn't know this. He was actually learning this later through a conversation I had with him, which is what started happening was there was some back channeling that was going to his boss that was saying, look, this guy, we don't want to work for him anymore. And so they hired me to come in and help. And as I was meeting with him, what I did is I started to interview all the stakeholders to understand what was going on. And then I met with him, and he was actually really receptive. He wasn't resistant at all. And I just wanted to let him know, you know, look, here are some things that are going on. Here's how people are experiencing you. There's maybe a few cultural cue misses. Here's how we're going to fix that. But there was one tip that I gave him that just had awesome results. And I've done this a few times for a few different clients, and I just really like the impact that it has. And so I want to pass it on to you. I think you'll find it really useful. I call it a zipper conversation. So a zipper is, you know, one of those, like, it's that artifact that has alternating teeth that gather together. And when they are in alignment, they are really sticky. They don't pull apart. And so a zipper conversation uses that kind of metaphor of getting something in alignment that then really sticks and people stay together and work together. And it's just a series of, like, the teeth in a zipper alternating questions that I'm going to, I won't go through all of it here, but I'm going to give you kind of the big ones. So the first question you start with, this is a meeting you're going to have, a zipper conversation at least once a quarter with your direct reports one-on-one. And you're going to sit down with them and you're not going to be talking about the business. You're going to be talking about this alignment. And the zipper conversation is just designed to create that. And so here's how it works. You start with a question, and the alternating questions are, you make a statement and then you ask a question. And so the statement is, here's what I'm seeing. That's kind of the big picture. And then you're asking for what they're seeing. And that's the small picture. And so the big picture and the small picture shake hands together, which you need that small picture data, that frontline data, and they need that big picture data to see how it works together. So you would start with, hey, here's where I see the organization is going. Here's what I think is happening. What do you see happening in the organization? So that's kind of the first two questions. And then there's a series of them, but I want to get to the questions. And in my Next Level Leader program, I teach the whole system. But I do want to move to the final two questions, which are this, which is after you've had the conversation to understand how they're thinking, you've relayed how you're thinking, both about the business, the department, their role, how they're performing, all those things. Then you move to this one, which is, what do you need from me in order to be successful in your role? This is a really important question, and it's a simple one because it focuses them on something pragmatic. And it's not about your relationship or how they feel about you. It's just about, what do you need from me in order to be successful? And you'll often get these great answers. And so the next question is, how can I be a better manager? And so this is kind of the catch-all. That's the final question you're going to ask is, how can I be a better manager? And then in the first time you do a zipper conversation, you say to them, it's my responsibility to once a quarter or once a month ask you these questions. And so I will take that responsibility. But it is your responsibility if for any reason during between our conversations like this, you are unclear about what we're doing or how or why, it's your responsibility to come and ask me and talk to me. And I'd be glad to talk to you. And if we do this, if I do my side and you do your side, there's no reason we shouldn't be in alignment. And that is the zipper conversation. And it is so effective. Almost within basically one time through this, we then interviewed the team again, and they were already feeling so much better. And within about 3 months, that his relationship with his team completely turned around, and that business started thriving. And so this is what's possible with that. Now, I want you to know that I know I've just introduced a whole lot of stuff, and I've done it pretty fast. There's a lot more to this. And so one of the things that I'm doing is I'm opening up my calendar. I only do this a couple of times a year. Most of my private clients, I'm full right now, but I do open up my calendar a couple times a year to take free one-to-one strategy sessions, a private strategy session with me, where basically I'm going to help you get clear on where you are now, help you get clear on where you want to go. We'll talk about the gap, and I'll give you my professional recommendation for the best way to get there. And what I can promise I'll do is I will give away one element of my Next Level Leader program for free that is customized to the problem that you bring to that conversation. Now, my time is limited, and the spots fill up fast, so I hope you take advantage of it fast. You just have to do a brief, enter a little bit of information, and we'll get you set up. And I hope to talk to you very soon. Now, stay tuned, because coming up next, we're going to kick off the summit with my interview with Tim Galway. And you're not going to want to miss it. He is a revolutionary, innovative thought leader who's figured out something that very few others have. And that talk is called The Inner Game of Leadership. So stay tuned. We'll see you soon.